Yeah, so we're going to interview today with Sheena Bullard. And Sheena, you had the unfortunate experience of having a motorcycle accident.
I did.
And when was that?
That was June 3rd of this past year. 4:45, we'll never forget it. I was leaving work, heading to the gym, and that's when it happened.
So you got on your motorcycle, you were motoring down the road?
Motoring down the road. I was at an intersection, and I pulled onto the road where the gym was. I was probably about 100 feet away from the actual driveway. And what ended up happening is I was in one lane, and there was a truck in the other lane who was kind of hiding my field of vision a little bit. And there was another car who was four lanes over. So she was in a parking lot, and she saw this truck, and she also saw Subway, and she wanted to get to Subway, and she decided to just cross without basically stopping and cross so that she would get ahead of the truck. And the problem was, she couldn't see me, I couldn't see her, and then there she was right in front of me.
So it was no way you could avoid that.
There was no way. And I mean, even the cops, they said it was 100% her fault. And it was just one of those things that I was there at the wrong time. I hit my brakes. I remember hitting my brakes, and my bike just stood up on one wheel. And I thought, this isn't a good thing. And I knew I was going off of the bike at that point. And then I blinked out, so I don't actually recall hitting the car or anything like that. The next thing that I remembered is...
Go ahead.
The next thing that I remembered is I was lying on the ground and people were coming up to me. One lady was a nurse who stopped. She said she hadn't seen the accident, and the other person who stopped had been in the truck who was right beside me. Mm-hmm. So they came up to me. I couldn't breathe. My lung had collapsed, and I was begging them to lay me flat. Just lay me flat. But obviously they weren't allowed. And it was one of those things where they just told me to hang in, just calm down, and the ambulance will be there soon. And I don't know if it was how my sense of time was. I don't know how long everything actually took. It seemed rather quickly. The police were there. The ambulance drivers were there. And I still wish I could. I wish I knew who they were, because I want to thank them. They were amazing. I can't thank them enough for what they do. And they got me onto the gurney, which was the most painful thing that I had ever happened to me. And then we went to the trauma unit in Rhode Island. And we have a hospital that's a little bit closer, but due to the extent of my injuries, they thought that it was best that I go to the trauma center. So I went there, and what was happening in the meantime is they kept talking to me, but my blood pressure started to drop. So I guess my body was going into some sort of shock, and it was them telling me to keep awake, me asking, can I just close my eyes? Just let me close my eyes for a minute. That would be all right. Them saying no, but they told me to hang on, and they were very encouraging. And once I got there, they said, okay, a lot of stuff is going to be happening right now. There's going to be a lot of people. And I said, I'm afraid. I remember that very quickly. And so they opened the door, and it was like a swarm of people who just came upon me, and they're asking questions, and they're wheeling you in. And then all of a sudden a doctor comes above me, and I asked him, I said, am I going to be okay? And he says, I don't know.
Wow.
That was one of the times where I could have been lied to. Like, I would have preferred him just say, oh, you're going to be fine, everything's going to be all right. But he said he didn't know. So I was like, okay. And this was my worst nightmares coming true, because I'm the type of person who, if I had to have a flu shot or blood drawn or anything like that, I'd faint. I had a TB test once and it didn't go so well. So all of a sudden I have IVs in me. They're cutting off your clothes, and they're putting, hooking you up to all sorts of stuff, and it was just very overwhelming. And then they put me into a CAT scan machine because they needed to know, obviously, what was wrong. And by that time, some people that I had known had come, and my husband was in the room. And I asked the doctor again when they came in to tell me the different things that they had found. I said, am I going to be okay? Are any of these injuries life-threatening? And he said, all of these injuries are life-threatening. We don't know. So again, it wasn't easy to hear. And it was one of those things where they don't know at the moment what's happening. And they found out I had two breaks in my back. One was a burst fracture in my L5 disc. And then one was my actual sacrum had completely almost detached. My pelvic area, one side of it had completely dislodged. So right away that they knew they were going to have to do surgery. And they ended up putting two titanium rods that are still there. And that's very pleasant. And also they had to do a chest tube because of my lung that had collapsed. Then they found things like I had a dissected carotid artery and broken shoulder, broken ribs, among other things. So it was definitely the worst summer of my life. But all in all, I look back and I look at the people who were there for me and who were amazing. I look back at the staff and the nurses and the people who helped me out. I was in the hospital for 2 months and I really got to know people, and they were just amazing. And I couldn't have asked for anybody. I couldn't have asked for any more. Like they were great. And I still talk to some of them now. And cause when you're there for six, I was in the ICU unit in Rhode Island, for 10 days, and then from there they moved me to a hospital that was closer to home. So I was there for 6.5 weeks, and I really got to know people, and the jobs that they do are amazing, and I can't thank them enough and thank everybody who actually helped me, because I know had I been on that road a little bit longer, I had internal bleeding and different things, had people not responded to me as quickly as they did, had I not been wearing my full face helmet, I wouldn't be here today. So,
because of the injuries you had with your pelvis, your shoulder also broken, back broken, the one part of you that didn't get damaged too badly, thank goodness, was your head.
It was my head, and that's why my mind was clear. And I don't know if it's great that I remember everything, but I mean, my mind was clear, and that was something, a brain injury on top of everything else would have been horrible. Like, everything else I was able to get through, and at least I had my mind, and my head was intact, so that was...
And you believe that's because of your helmet?
Oh, absolutely. I had just purchased the helmet. It was actually a present. I had my old helmet was about 8 years old, and I didn't use it too much, but I mean, it was 8 years old, and I had done some research prior to even purchasing this helmet, and sometimes helmets drop on the ground and stuff like that, and what ends up happening is they'll crack inside, and you can't tell from seeing them if they're just sitting there. It looks like a perfectly normal helmet. Well, after 8 years, I thought it was time to purchase a new helmet, and I had this one for 3 weeks, and I loved it. I loved it. I don't know why I loved an object so much, but I really liked this helmet, and I had ordered it online, but I tried some on, and this is the one that I wanted, and it was the look that I like. And when I look at it now, I still have it. I kept it. It's a mess. I mean, it had the whole front of it is sheared off. The visor was ripped off. You can tell it had a little bit of a mouthpiece inside the visor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was scraped a little bit, but that actually kept it away from my face. The only thing I ended up having was a cut on my face, and I think that was due to the strap. That might have moved a little bit, but I had it on snug, so, I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. It had a crack on the side. The top part, all the air vents were just, they were sheared right off. So if you look at the helmet, it looks nothing like it looked before. But had I not had that, that would have been my face. And that would have been my face on pavement and on this lady's car. So I owe everything to having this proper equipment.
And that's why you posted something online about people wearing helmets.
I really did. I'm still recuperating, and I'll sit at home. And I saw the news the other day, and those type of things really, really bother me. I saw that somebody had died, and he was in a single motorcycle accident, so he didn't hit a car. He basically fell off of his motorcycle somehow, and he died. And they said that he died due to fatal head injuries. And you know what? I really hate it when I hear that someone died in a motorcycle crash due to a fatal head injury because they weren't wearing a helmet. And I don't understand what people are thinking. Wear the damn full-faced helmet. It does save lives, and it saved mine.
And you're mentioning a full-face helmet as opposed to other kinds of helmet. I don't know much about helmets, not being someone who motorcycles, but I didn't even realize there was different kinds.
You can get all sorts of different kinds, and what will happen is a lot of people, if there is a helmet law, they try to get around it, where they will wear a helmet that covers the top of their head. But the first thing, and this is actually something that I had learned in my motorcycle classes prior to getting my license, like 80% of the time, you're going to hit the front of your face.
Really?
When you fall off the bike, it's either going to be your chin or it's going to be your face. So if you don't have anything protecting your face, that's the first thing that's going to go. So a little helmet that stays on the top of your head is going to move upwards. It's not going to protect you in the least little bit. And even, I mean, they have some helmets that are not just the skull caps. They'll really cover, and they have a nice buckle, and they still don't have that full face. You need the full face, because if I look at my helmet now, first my visor was completely ripped off of it. You look at the front of it, it used to be black, now it's white. So hard plastic versus skin, yeah, is two very, very different things. And that, had that impact been on my face, it would have been totally different. I would have had many more injuries, just appearance wise too. And that's something that then you have to live with that for the rest of your life, when all you have to do is wear the proper security equipment. Motorcycling, I'm done. I can't go on a motorcycle again. I loved it. It was a passion, but obviously I can't do that for myself anymore, but I used to love it. And I know many people out there still do love it. Just wear the proper equipment, because that's all you have. That's all you have between you and somebody who wants to get to Subway and doesn't want to wait for traffic. That's all you have for one person pulling a move that is going to affect the rest of your life. So you need to wear jackets. Even I had a leather jacket, and that did a lot for me. I stupidly really want to mention this, but I was wearing shorts, and you know what, that was the worst thing I did, because now I have scars on my legs that are never going to go away. And I mean, it was my face that hit first, so that isn't even as bad as it could have been, but that would have been on my face, and that's something that doesn't go away. And had I lived, I could have been a vegetable. I could have maybe been in a coma, and I probably would have had road rash on my face for the rest of my life.
And you're a young lady, so that's a long time to go.
Yeah, I don't think I would have liked that too much.
If you had survived even.
Yeah, if I had survived even, I mean, that would have been, I have constant reminders now, and the whole thing has definitely been the most challenging event that I've ever been through. But had that been added to it, I mean, I don't know how I would have reacted to that. I don't... How do you go out in public when that's happened? Like, it... I think I would have been a lot more down just...
Yeah.
If that had happened.
Of course. Because looking at you, we don't know that you've been in an accident.
No. And, I mean, even if you look at my pictures from right after the accident, they're not all that pleasant, but... My face was fine, and my head was fine. And you know what? Your head is a vital part of your body. That's... You hit your head too hard, you can die. I mean, that's... Hmm. You need to protect it. And you know what? I've often told people, there's this people in the office and a few other people who want to ride. And even prior to this accident, I told them... When they were looking at helmets, I said, you know what? You need to get a good helmet. Him and ha, oh, I don't really want to spend the money on it. I don't want to spend this. I'd like to spend under $70. Well, can you put a price on your head? Like, I paid $300 for my helmet, and it was a decent helmet. And I contacted the company afterwards, and I thanked them for making a good product. And that $300, even though it's gone, I put more than $300 value on my head. So, you know what? You need to have a good, well-fitting, solid helmet. And you can't just, you know what? If you can't afford it, then maybe you shouldn't be riding. Like, you, that's, it's like a seatbelt. That's all you have to protect you. And you want to be as protected as possible, because... Accidents happen. They happen.
And you in no way had any control over that.
Exactly.
Whatsoever.
Exactly. There was nothing I could do. And, you know, you replay it in your mind. Could I have done this? Could I have done that? What if, like, the only thing I can think of is, okay, had I been 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, but that wasn't the case. There was nothing else I could do. That lady crossed when she crossed. I couldn't see her because of where I was. And I was going the speed limit. I wasn't doing anything crazy. Often you'll hear people, I mean, there's a stereotype sometimes that go with people on bikes and people who have the type of bikes that I have. I actually even heard it after the accident. Well, Sheena had a fast bike. And if I were to get a bike, it would be a cruiser. It doesn't matter what type of bike I had. I was doing the speed limit. You're upright. It really doesn't. The type of bike didn't matter in the least little bit. Had I been on a Harley, a Honda, it doesn't matter.
A moped.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, I mean, I was doing 45. That was the speed limit there. And she was there. So.
This woman... made a maneuver with her car that was illegal. Mm-hmm. She crossed three lanes of traffic, hit you, and that doesn't change anything, though. The fact that she was to blame, you're still the one who's injured.
Exactly.
So the only protection you have is the protective equipment you wear.
Exactly.
And that's your message.
Mm-hmm. That is my message.
It's a strong one.
And I hope, you know, even if you only get a few people to listen to you, you know what? It can happen to you. A lot of people, like, I even thought that, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be fine. You know what? Even before the accident, that's why I was wearing shorts. I did put the leather jacket on, and I had my gloves on, and I had my full-face helmet. But I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to wear shorts. It's right down the street. Nothing's going to happen to me. Well, you know what? It did. And it can happen to anybody. You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know what? People do stupid things, and sometimes nothing happens, but sometimes there are consequences, and you can be involved. And this is all you have. All you have is your protective gear. And, I mean, you're on a moving vehicle with no metal around you. So when you hit somebody else, or if somebody hits you, that's, I mean... I talked in miles. I guess I live in the States now, but 45 miles an hour is about 70 kilometers. So you hit someone or are hit at that impact, you need to have some sort of protection. Like, and that's all you have. So, you know what? Invest the money. I have no problem with people who want to ride motorcycles. I mean, like I said before, it was a passion of mine and I really, really loved it. I can't do it anymore for my own personal reasons, but do it safely. Do it as safely as you can, because they have the gear out there, and if you protect yourself and this happens, you have a lot better chance of survival.
You're going to be able to walk away from this. You're still dealing with the consequences of it, but you're going to be able to walk away from it. You're going to be able to continue your life.
Exactly.
It's been interrupted for a long time. It's been very difficult for you, but that's because you did have protective wear that you can walk away.
Exactly. I mean, I had one summer that was gone, and sometimes I was upset about that, obviously, but I'll have more summers. And then I look at this person recently on the news who will have no more summers. And he would have if he had a helmet on. And again, a full-faced helmet. You need that full face, because just having a small helmet on the top of your head isn't going to cut it. You really need the full face with the visor, and it really does protect you. And you can look at statistics, you can Google online, and it's a fact that it's your face more often than not that is going to hit first. So if you have that full face helmet, you have a lot higher chance of survival. I think it's something like 75 or 80% higher chance of survival if you do have. I don't remember exactly, so don't quote me on that. But I did take a class, and it was crazy, like helmet versus non-helmet, how much higher risk there is. So,
okay. Well, we've been talking with Sheena Bullard about helmets and about the accident that she had. Thank you very much, Sheena, for being here and sharing the information.
I hope it does
help to make someone safe.
I hope it does too.
Thank you.
Thank you.